Okay, we're about to start Maseches Chulin. Maseches Chulin is put after Zvach Menachos by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the way it's written in the Torah. The Torah first says, Vayamakom Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokeichem Bo L'Shakin Shmo Hashem Shama Taviyu, talks about bringing Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and then it says, Ki Yarchav Hashem Elokeichem Zgubulcha Asher Dibalacha V'amarta Achle Basu Kidav V'Nafshecha, that you'll eat Basar Taiva. So Basar Taiva, the halachos of Shchit, of Shechting, normal animals, forgetting about Hegdish, comes after we talk about Shechting Karbanos. Now, technically, Shechitas Chulin, Shechita in general, and the whole Maseches Chulin is in Seder Kachim, and it belongs in Seder Kachim, but a lot of the Rishonim, when they have their commentaries on Maseches Chulin, they put their commentaries on Chulin right next to the Moed Masechtos, because the explanation is that since the Minhag in Yeshivos has always been that people learn Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, because those are the more Lemaisa of the Siddarim, and fewer people learn Kachim, but Chulin is very much Halach Lemaisa, so the Rishonim associate it with Moed and put it together with Moed, so that when a person is learning those Masechtas that are Halacha L'maisa, a person should make sure to learn Maseches Chulin as well. There is a lot of Halacha L'maisa in Maseches Chulin. Maseches Chulin actually discusses 10 different inyanim. It's split up pretty clearly amongst the prakim, but the first two prakim are going to deal with the halachos of shechita. The complete halachos of shechita are covered in the first two prakim. Third parak is going to be elutrefos, is going to be all about the halachos of trefos. Fourth parak talks about the halachos of trefos and behema chayiv va'of and the simani tara of behema chayiv va'of. Then when you move further in the masechta, the fifth parak is about also vespino, about the halacha that you're not allowed to shecht the mother and child on the same day. The sixth parak is about the mitzvah of kisui adam, which again we still do on a chayiv va'of. It's a halacha lemaisa kind of limud. It's not purely theoretical. The seventh parak is about gid anasha. Again, halacha lemaisa. We do nikra gid nowadays, even though we cut out a lot more to be machmir, but we do nikra gid. And about all the talayim that are found in the basar. The eighth parak is kalabasar, discusses the isra of dam and the mitzvah of malicha, the requirement to do malicha to get the dam out, as well as all of Hilchos Taroves, much of Hilchos Taroves. You have a lot of that in Avodah Zarah also, but that's also very Halacha L'maisa. It's the backbone of any smicha program. When someone studies for smicha, is right here in Maseches Chulin. The ninth parak is Zorah Lechaim, and the tenth parak Reish Sageiz deals with Matnos Kuhuna that you have to give to a Kohen. The 11th parak deals with Hechsher Tuma, and the 12th parak deals with the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. So it's actually interesting. It starts off with Shechita, and it ends with Shiluach HaKan. So some have noted either a parallel or an opposite over there, that Shiluach HaKan seems to be the most merciful of all mitzvahs, that you have to send away the mother before taking the eggs, and even though we're not allowed to say Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Merachim on the Kan Tzipor, and that's the only reason that we have a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, but nevertheless it is something that is clearly a sign of divine mercy. And yet we begin the Masechta with Shechita, which many associate with barbarism or something that's perhaps less than merciful. So perhaps the idea of starting with Shechita and sandwiching the entire Masechta with Shechita and Shiluach HaKan is to emphasize the point that it's all from the same Ribono Shel Olam, and that all of these mitzvos and all of these halachos are observed to the same to the same level. It could also be that Shechita is not barbarism. To the contrary, Shechita is supposed to be the emphasis is that it's supposed to be the most humane way to kill an animal. That's also a sign of divine rachmanis, that you have Shechita. Okay, anyway, just in terms of Hakdamata, basic Hilchos Shechita, the Rambam and the Smag write that it's a mitzvah saseh she yishchot mi she yirtza lechol basar behema chay va'of v'achar kach yochal, that it's a mitzvah saseh mi d'oraisa, that someone who wants to eat meat should shech the animal first and then eat the meat. Shenemar v'zavachta b'v'karcha mitzoncha. And they quote psukim, so we learn that there is a mitzvah of Shechita. The Kesemisha and the Radvaz explain that the Rambam is very medaktik in his lashon. He says, mi she yirtza lechol, because there's no chiyuv to wake up one morning and say, oh, I gotta do Shechita. No, you don't have to do Shechita. If you want to eat, so it's a conditional mitzvah. We have mitzvahs like that. There's a mitzvah in the Torah for a person to give a get to his wife. So what? That means every person during his lifetime has to divorce his wife? No, it's a conditional mitzvah. If you fulfill the criteria that are laid out in the Mishnayos and Maseches Gittin of a bad marriage, of a marriage that's falling apart, that needs to be dissolved, so then you dissolve the marriage through the giving of a get. When over here it's a little more of a positive spin, if you want to eat basar, so the way to do it is by shechting. The Levush and the Prima Gadim write that the Iker Din of Shechita is learned from a pasuk, but all of the details of Shechita are only Dibur Kabbalah, it's all Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Although we have a concept of Shechita Midaraisa, everything else, all of the details, all of the halachas that we're going to learn about are Halach L'Moshe Misinai. The reason for the mitzvah of Shechita, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, is Kedei Sheyetze Kol Adam Derech HaTzavar V'lo Nochal HaNefesh Shem HaBasar. It relates to the Isra of Achilas Dam. In order, and on the Isra of Achilas Dam, Sefer HaChinuch discusses the problem of eating the Dam HaNefesh, of eating that which was the lifeblood of another being. So Sefer HaChinuch says this is a mitzvah that we have to make sure that we don't eat dam, to avoid the iser of achilas dam. The most blood spills out when you are shochet derech hatzavar. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch explains. It seems, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, this would fit very nicely into Rav Yosef Engel's category of siyag d'oraisa. We discussed many times in the past, Rav Yosef Engel has an essay in one of his svarim. I forgot whether it's Asfon d'oraisa or Lekach Tov, but he has an essay in one of his svarim where he explains that normally we think of a siyag as a dinta rabbanan, as a geder, a fence made around the Torah by the rabbanan, but there are certain instances where we can find a siyag d'oraisa, where the Torah itself makes a halacha to protect you from violating a different halacha in the Torah. That's what we would call the siyag d'oraisa. Yes, for those rishonim that hold negiya b'derech chiba is an issur d'oraisa, that touching nida b'derech chiba is an issur d'oraisa, would hold that is a siyag d'oraisa. Yichud d'oraisa is a siyag d'oraisa, Rav Yosef Engel writes. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, shchita is a siyag d'oraisa, lest you come to eat the dam. And then the Sefer HaChinuch says another reason is that we don't want to be mitzair balei chayim yoser midai. We don't want to cause undue anguish and suffering to animals. The Torah allows a person to eat meat, but not to be mitzair animals for no reason, and therefore we have such a halacha that we have to shecht an animal before eating it. So the first two prakim are going to deal with all of Hilchos Shechita, which really is many different inyanim in terms of who is kosher to shecht. That's the first Mishnah. When a person should shecht, beis hazman, bameh shechtin, what kind of knife do you use, what part of the animal do you shecht on, how many of the simanim do you have to shecht, how much of each simon do you have to shecht, the halachos of Shechita, the details of shehiyah, dris, chalada, ikor, all of those halachos, and the kavana that you need for Shechita, and the kavana that you can't have while you're shechting. So those are the topics that are covered in the first two prakim. So let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hakol shochtin, anyone can shecht, u'shechitasan kshera, and their Shechita is kosher, chutz mi'cherishot v'katan, shem yikalkul ha'shechitasan. Except for cherishot v'katan, we don't allow them to shecht because we're afraid that they're going to mess up the Shechita. V'kulin sheshechtu v'achem ro'nosan, shechitasan kshera. Anyone who shechts and other people are watching them to make sure that everything is going keseder, so then the shechita is going to be kosher. The Gemara is going to discuss who v'kulan is coming to include, whether it's coming to include cherishot v'katan or it's coming to include somebody else. The Gemara is just going to point out it doesn't sound, it doesn't flow properly if it's coming to include cherishot v'katan, because then it shouldn't have said v'kulan, it should have just said v'im shechtu v'achem ro'nosan shechitasan kosher, because we were already talking about cherishot v'katan. Just say, yeah, and if they shecht, the kulan sounds like we're introducing some new group of people. So it's clear in the Mishnah that a gadol that knows Hilchos Shechita can certainly shecht on his own, his shechita is kosher, and everyone's allowed to rely that if I tell you I shechted this animal and it is kosher, you're allowed to rely that I'm telling the truth, and that it is kosher. So the Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Mordechai, and the Agos Hashri, in the name of the Arzarua, all ask the question that the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to tell us on Daf Tes, that a behema is becheskas iser omedes, that a behema before you shecht it has a cheskas iser. It was alive, so it has a cheskas iser. So the halacha generally is that that something that has a cheskas iser, that an eid echad is not believed about something that has a cheskas iser unless it's biyado to change it, unless it's biyado to make sure it's okay. So how could a shochet tell you that he shechted it properly? Once the animal's already shechted, it's no longer biyado to change it. It's no longer biyado to make it okay if it weren't okay. So that's the kasha that all the Rishonim ask. What gives a person the right to tell you that the shechitas kasher, an eid echad should not be believed on something that has a cheskas iser unless it's biyado to make it better? So the Agos Hashri writes that if you see the base hashchita, you look at the part of the animal that gets shechted, and you see that it's shechted karoi, so then we have every right to be somech that it was shechted karoi, because there's another concept that the Gemara is going to tell us about in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, rova metzuyin etzel shechita mumchen hein. Most of the people who get involved in shechita are mumchen. People don't just shecht animals unless they know what they're doing. So, and furthermore, if you give him a kezayis to eat, you give the shochet a little bit of the meat to eat, so then for sure you could be somech that it was shechted karoi, because if it wasn't shechted karoi, he wouldn't eat it. You're not going to suspect a typical Jew of being ochel nevelos. But if you don't see the beis hashchita and you never gave him a kezayis to eat, so then the kasha comes back. If you didn't give him a kezayis to eat and you don't see the part of the animal that was shechted, so then we have a difficulty. How can you trust the shochet? So there are several deos in Rishonim as to what allows us to trust the shochet in this area. The Urayim writes that it's dafka rekim upochazim amru, that it's dafka about people who are lowlifes that we say an eid echad is not neman b'makom that it's muchzak isura, when there's a cheskas iser. But an eid echad that's a neman and a muchzak and a trustworthy guy and is a decent fellow, he's neman even when there's a cheskas iser. The whole din that an eid echad is not neman when it's cheskas iser is if the guy, again, you know, he doesn't have to be pasul eidos, but he has to be someone who's much on a much lower level. But a guy who's known to be a trustworthy fellow, then even b'makom cheskas iser, an eid echad is going to be neman b'isur. And that's the Urayim shita. Rabbeinu Tam, the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in Tosos and Maseches Gittin, the Rabbeinu Tam holds that even something that's not biyado right now to do, but it was biyado to make sure it was okay, so Neid Echad is going to be Neman. What did we say? The whole question was that Neid Echad should only be Neman b'cheskas iser when it's biyado to make it okay. Right now it's not biyado, but originally it was. The animal was alive before he killed it, so he could have it was biyado to shecht it properly. So the Rishonim point out that even Nashim, even women who don't know Hilcha Shechita are Neman on this, because it's biyadam to learn Hilcha Shechita. It's biyadam to hire a shochet to shecht the animal for them. So that's what the Rishonim point out. Tosfos Maseches Gittin and the Rashba Maseches Gittin point out that even in the situation of a woman who doesn't know Hilcha Shechita, it's still considered biyada. The third possibility, Rabbeinu Baruch is mitaretz, that since Rov Mitzuyi Netzel Shchit are Mumchin, an Eid Echad is Neman even b'muchzak Yisuro. That those two, that chazaka of Rov Mitzuyi Netzel Shchit are Mumchin, or that Rov of Rov Mitzuyi Netzel Shchit are Mumchin, is strong enough that it outweighs the Cheskas Iser. And we are going to believe an Eid Echad even b'makam Cheskas Iser. The Achronim give a different mahalich. The Chazanish, the Kiveger, the Pnei Yeshua, they all take a different mahalich. They say that it's daf when the Eid Echad is made about a certain Maisa that's Oker the Chazaka, that he's not Neman b'makom cheskas iser. But when we know b'vadai that the Chazaka is no longer, meaning what was the cheskas iser? The cheskas iser was that it was Eivor Min HaChai. It's definitely not Eivor Min HaChai anymore. We see that the animal is dead. So we know the cheskas iser is gone. The shaila is, how was the cheskas iser removed? So that we can rely on an Eid Echad. We're not going to believe in Eid Echad if we don't even know whether the Cheskas Iser was removed, and it's the Eid Echad telling us that the Cheskas Iser was removed. That we can't believe in Eid Echad on. But to tell us how a Cheskas Iser was removed, when we know that the Cheskas Iser was removed, so on such a thing we could believe in Eid Echad. That is the general Mahalich that Rov of the Achronim take, the Chaznish, Nemen Ezer, Nun Tesiv Katan Zayin, and Yardeh, Nun Gimel Siv Katan Zayin, Rav Kiveger, Nechuvah, Simen Kuf Chavdal, Dalit. That's the basic mahalik that the Rov Achronim take. Okay, we said everybody can shecht. First question is, how everybody is everybody? It tells us not Cheresh Adav V'Katan. Number one question we always ask in Lamdus when we talk about who's kosher to do things, who's not. What about women? Are women kosher to be shochtim? So very fascinating. Tosfos on the top. First Tosfos in the Masechta. Kosov behilchos Eretz Yisrael, dinashim lo yishchetu, mipnei shedaitim kalos. That in Hilchos Eretz Yisrael it says, women should not shecht because they are daitan kalos. Not abundantly clear what he means by that, and why it is that they can't shecht, what the reason is. So there are several reasons offered by Rishonim and Achronim to try to explain the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Number one, you have the Agos Maimoni, the Agos Maimoni in Hilchos Shechita Perek Dalet Os Beis, the Agos Maimoni explains that since they're Daitan Kala, we're afraid that they're going to faint. It's the Daitan Kala doesn't mean that they're unintelligent. Women are very intelligent. It's an issue of that they're more queasy, and therefore they're more likely to faint, and they're more likely to mess up the Shechita. I don't know if that's actually. I think in medical schools they find that the girls handle things much better than the boys do. They say it's because they're used to seeing blood with menstruation, whatever. But whatever it is, it seems that the women tend to be somewhat less queasy sometimes about those things. The Drisha explains that the reason is because they're chashul on lifnei iver, and you have to assume that they're chashul on lifnei iver, and we're afraid that they're going to mess up the shechita. You have to assume both. If they're just chashul on lifnei iver, that's fine. But who says they messed up the shechita? Who says that there is any lifnei iver? So the Drisha must be assuming both, that they're chashul on lifnei iver and we're choshish going to mess up the shechita. Very difficult to figure out where in the world he got the idea that women are chashul on lifnei iver. To the contrary, the Ramah Paskins in Simon Kuf Chav Zayin Sif Gimel, Nashim are ne'emanos al nikor agid. The women are believed about Nikur Agid, so they're not Chashul on Lifnei Iver. The very fact that we go home at night and we eat dinner that our wives cook for us shows that they're not Chashul on Lifnei Iver. So very difficult to understand where he gets that idea, that women are Chashul on Lifnei Iver. The Elia Rabbah explains, based on the Beis Yosef, that by every shochet, we're not worried that he might faint and mess up the shechita, because we're somich on him that if he fainted, he would tell us, and therefore we would know not to rely on it. But even if he did faint, it would only be a suffix. Maybe he messed up, maybe he didn't. But by Nashim, the Ramah paskins that they're not Naman on a suffix iser. So we can't rely on them that if they fainted, they would have told us. Because even if they did faint, it's only a suffix. Maybe they messed up the Shechita, but they're not believed on a suffix situation. That's the Elia Rabba's explanation. The Yeshua Siakov explains that Daitan Kala were afraid that they're not going to tell us, that they're going to be too ashamed to tell us if they mess up the Shechita. Not that they're more likely to do it, it's that a man is just as likely to mess up the Shechita, but if he does, he'll tell us. A woman is going to be too ashamed to tell us if they mess up the Shechita. All of these explanations of the Achronim, very difficult to understand. Still at the end of the day, leaves it wanting a little bit. Rabbi Ganak, when I was in his Yaradei Chabura in Wayu Smicha, he used to say over, I think he has printed in one of his Svarim, that he thought that it used to be the communal structure of a Jewish community in Europe was that there were two people who knew how to learn in the community, the Rav and the Sheikhet. The Sheikhet had to know Hilchos Shechita, obviously, but he was like the assistant rabbi. If the Rav was out of town, then the Sheikhet was the one that everyone came to. He was like the unofficial assistant rabbi in communities, and he thought that that's what maybe the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is based on, that Nashim shouldn't shecht, because you don't want the woman to be the Sheikhet, because then she's going to be the post facto, de facto assistant rabbi, and that was never acceptable. To have a woman rabbi. So anyway, so that's that's the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. However, Tosfos doesn't like it. Tosfos writes, "Vein nira dafil b'mukdashin shochtos l'chadchila." Even by hegdish, even by karbanos, women are allowed to shecht l'chadchila. So to just say that women aren't allowed to shecht, he doesn't agree. Later in Tosfos, he says, "Why doesn't it say hakol shochtin echad nashim ve'echad nashim?" If women are allowed to shecht, shouldn't the Mishnah have said it? Just like in Temura, it says echad nashim ve'echad nashim. So he says, "No, by Temura, the whole parsha is written b'lashon zachar, but over here, so therefore the Mishnah has to point out to us that you should know it's not only, even though there's a whole parsha in the Torah about it, and it's all b'lashon zachar, you should know it applies to women as well. Over here, there's no hava amina that a woman should be pasul l'shechita, and that's why it doesn't have to say it. It's interesting. You can take something that Hilchos Aretz Yisrael says women can't do, and Taisa says, no, it's not even a Havamina that women can't do it. How do you even have such a Havamina? That's why the Mishnah doesn't have to dispel anything. So it doesn't have to tell us that women can do it. Of course they could do it. Fine. So that is the Mishnah. Let's see Vaitu now in the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Hakol Shochtun L'Chadchila, the words Hakol Shochtun imply that women are allowed to shecht even L'Chadchila, and yet, U'Shchitasun K'Sheira B'Di'Eved, the words Shchitasun K'Sheira imply that it's only a Din B'Di'Eved, but not L'Chadchila. L'Chadchila, not everyone is allowed to shecht. So which is it? Is Hakol Shochtun a Din L'Chadchila or a Din B'Di'Eved? So that's the stira. Says the Gemara, Am L'Ravachar B'Rei D'Rav L'Ravashi, V'Kol Hakol L'Chadchila. One way to answer the question is question the premise of the question. You said Hakol Shochtun implies L'Chadchila. Does the word Hakol always mean L'Chadchila? So the Gemara is going to bring on this Amud two cases where Hakol clearly means only B'di'eved. It clearly does not mean L'Chadchila. So how can you tell me Hakol means that? So again, questioning the premise of the question. So Rav Acha Brei D'Rava says to Rav Ashi, you mean to tell me every time it says Hakol, it's L'Chadchila? I'll give you two examples where it's clearly not L'Chadchila. Elamayata, example number one. Hakol Memirin Echad HaAnashim Ve'Echad HaNashim. To do Tamura. Hakol Memirin. Anyone could do Tamura, could affect Tamura. Men and women. Hachinami Din L'Chadchila Hu. Why, you think that's a Din L'Chadchila? V'haksiv Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yamir Oso. But the Pasuk says, Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yamir Oso Tov Bira Ra B'Tov. Even if you're changing, putting a good animal in place of a bad animal, that you're not allowed to do Tamura. So says the Gemara, so you see clearly it's not L'Chadchila. Gemara says, no, Hasam K'tani Taima Lo Shadam Rashi L'Hamir Elishim Hamir Mumar V'Savik Esar Bayim. Over there it explains that it says Hakol because not, and it specifies that a person is not allowed to do it. It's just that if you do it, it is effective. The tamura is effective, and you get malchus. You get 40 lashes for violating the isra of tamura. Meaning, it's not that you haven't accomplished anything by doing tamura because you're not allowed to. No, you have accomplished something. You've accomplished violating the isra, affecting the tamura, and therefore you're going to get 40 malchus. That's the most famous Gemara Maseches Tamura Daf Dalet is Kol Milsa Dam Rachman Ala Savidi Yavin Mahani Yeri Yavin Lomani. When the Torah tells you not to do something and you do it anyway, have you affected anything by what you have done? When the Torah tells you not to do something, is the Torah robbing you of your ability to do it, or is the Torah saying you can do it? You can make something, you can affect something, but you're not supposed to do it, and you're going to get punished for it. So that's the Hakol over there to tell you that you're sofeg es harbayim. Very interesting. No, wait a second, we just said that what's the issue of Tamura? Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroso. Two separate surim. And what do we say? V'sofeg esharboim. You get 40 malchios. Look at Rashi, v'lo v'sofeg esharboim on the fourth wide line. Mishum lav d'lo yamir. Because of the lav of lo yamir. Nothing about lo yachlifenu, only about the lav of lo yamiroso. So this is this diuk is picked up by the achronim in the back of the Gemara. The Maritzchias and the Rashash pick up on this diuk. Where is it? Not finding it right now. But the Maritzchias and the Rashash pick up on this diuk. Yeah, near be'enai. Had lo nakat says Maritzchias. Had lo nakat mishum lo yachlifenu k'mosh kasvu l'mala mishum d'tmura havi lav hanitik la'asei. Tamura is a fixable los asei. Rak de lo asi asei umanatik tre lavi. But an asei cannot undo two lavin. So therefore, you're only mpnezelo lucky rak alo yamir, de lav lo yachlifenu nitaklasei. The issue of lo yachlifenu is nitaklasei. So that is, so you're not going to get malchus on. You don't get malchus on a lava nitaklasei. The only issue that you're going to get malchus on is the issue of lo yamiroso. And that's why Rashi quotes the issue of lo yamiroso. Tosos also deals with the problem. If you look at Tosos, vim tomer havelin the memor of a sophic shmonim, to a tre lavik siv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir. It should have said, you get 80 malchus. Not 40. The Yishlomer, the Chad B'Shalom, the Chad B'Shal Chavero. One is talking about you do Tamura on your own animal, the other is about doing Tamura on your friend's animal. G'damer B'Tamura, G'damer Chavero, Kalarotz, L'Hamir B'Behemasu, Yamir, D'Binyan Acher, Ein Mamir B'Shal Acherim. And the case must be, how can I do Tamura on someone else's animal? Who gave me the authority to do Tamura on somebody else's animal? The case must be where the person says, anyone who would like to do Tamura on my animal can go ahead and do it. It can't be that he made me a Shliach to do it, Ein Shliach to the Varavera, but But he says anyone wants to, he just declares whoever wants to do tumura, and I can't just go do it without permission because they know the most of davar sheino shelo. I can't make somebody else's thing usher. Like we always give the example, I can't walk out of my house one morning and start bowing down to my neighbor's car and say, "Ah, your car is nisra v'dazari. You're not allowed to use it anymore. You're not allowed to get enough from it." I can't usher something that that doesn't belong to me. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter now. So that's one example clearly where hakol is clearly a b'di'evet. It's not a l'chachila. Ella says the Gemara, I'll give you another example of a hakol, because that one wasn't a good raya, because we said that was just to tell me that you're not supposed to do it, but that it does work and you get malchus. So says the Gemara, Ella hakol ma'arichin v'ne'arachin, nodrin v'nidarin. When we say to do erechin and to do nedarim, is that also a lechachila that you're supposed to make nedarim and commit to things to give to the Beis Hamikdash? V'haksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say v'chisechta lindar lo yeh b'chachet? Uksiv tova shelo tidor mishatidor v'lo tishalem. Pasuk says that you shouldn't take a neder because that will be considered a sin if you take a neder. Pasuk says, better not to take a neder at all than to take a neder and not pay up on the neder. So we see clearly from two different psukim that there's an isser of taking a neder, that you're not supposed to take a neder. Why do I need two psukim? So Tosfos just points out, Me'ikara Maisi Midivrei Torah, Vada Maisi Midivrei Kabbalah. Sometimes when we want to show how firmly rooted an idea is, we say that it's both Midivrei Torah as well as Midivrei Kabbalah. Sometimes we're even able to show that it's Meshulash, that it's Nemar B'Torah, then it's repeated in Nevi'im, and it's Meshulash B'Ksuvim, and we're able to show how the idea basically runs through all of Tanakh. So over here we try to show that it runs through at least the two major segments of Tanakh, Torah and Nach. So we first quote the Pasuk in the Torah. V'Tanya, and we have a Brice that says, Tom Mizeh Mizeh, you know what the best is? Sheinu Nodar Kalikar, Divra Meir. Meir says the best is to not take any Nadarim at all. Never even start with this. Why do we need this business of Nadarim? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tov Mizeh Mizeh Nodar Meshalim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the best is to take a neder and pay up on the neder. But then the second best is not to take the neder at all. And the third best is to take a neder and not keep it. So it sounds like, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a lechachila to take a neder as long as you pay up on it. So says Marno, Vafil Rabbi Yehuda lo kamar elba omer hare zu. Avel omer hare alai lo. It depends how you take the neder. If you say hare zu, where you're making a din in the cheftza, where if the animal dies or gets stolen, you're not going to be chayv b'achray. So then it's good to take the neder and to pay up on the neder. We're not concerned that you're not going to pay up on the neder. There's no reason to believe that you won't pay up on the neder, because if anything goes wrong with that animal, you're not going to be chayv in the achrayus. But if you say harei alai, so then there could be some unforeseen circumstances where you're not going to be mekayim the neder, because you're going to say, oh, I said harei alai at the time that I thought that animal was going to make it. I was willing to give up that animal, but to just stop and pay up another animal, maybe a person will be posheya and is not going to do that. So even Rabbi Yehuda's moda, that's not a good thing. Bottom line is, you see that hakol in that context is used even as a din b'di'evit. It's not a din l'chadchil. It's not something that you're supposed to do. Frek Tosos, if you look at Tosos Aval on Amid Beis, the top Tosos on Amid Beis, toward the end of the Tosos, V'yem Tomar V'aksiv V'yidor Yaakov Neder, V'aksiv V'esashir Nadati Yashalema, that Yaakov took a Neder, so you see that, and by Yonah, V'esashir Nadati Yashalema, so isn't it a good thing to take a neder? Apparently, that's something which Yaakov took a neder when he thought he was in trouble. So, isn't it a positive thing to take a neder? The money mitzvah is counted as a mitzvah to take a neder, that a person should take a neder. How can you count it as a mitzvah if it's something you're not supposed to do? So, says Tosos Yeshlomar, the Bishas Sara Shari. You're allowed to take a neder at a time of tsar. Tamrin Bereshis Rabba, Vayidor Yaakov Neder, Lamar, Lamar Lidorosh, you know them based Sara. It's from Yaakov that we learn that a person is supposed to take a neder based Sara. So there are times that it's appropriate to take a neder, but you're not supposed to stam take a nedarim. If it's an Sara and you're trying to come up with an extra zechus to save you based Sara, then it's appropriate to take a neder. The only way, the Chassam Sofer points out in his tshuvas, in several tshuvas, that the only way a person can create a new mitzvah da'oraisa, a new issa da'oraisa, is through neder. you take a neder, now something that was totally mutter becomes an issur d'oraisa for you. That's why the Chasam Sofer believes violating minhagim may be worse than violating isurim d'rabanan, because a minhag may work mitam neder, that by committing to this minhag, I am taking a neder that I'm going to behave in this way. So if a minhag works mitam neder, it may turn into a din d'oraisa, whereas dinim d'rabanan you do because it's a din d'rabanan, because the rabbanan told you not midin neder at all. So that's the that's the idea of generating a new zuchus for you in a time of tzara by creating a new mitzvah. You need more mitzvahs to save you in a time of tzara. Okay, but now the Gemara says, yeah, so we see that akol sometimes means b'di'evet, but sometimes akol definitely means l'chadchila also. We have two examples where akol definitely means l'chadchila. Ela hakol chayavim b'sukkah, hakol chayavim b'tzitzis, hachinami d'lav l'chadchila. When we say everyone is chayav in sukkah, everyone is chayav in tzitzis, does that also mean only b'di'evet? Only b'di'evet we should sit in sukkah, only b'di'evet we should wear tzitzis? No, that's vaday something that's a din l'chadchila. So says Gemara, that's not a raya. Chayovin lo kamina. Obviously, when it says hakol chayovin, it means l'chadchila. We're talking about when it says hakol without the word chayovin. When it says with the word chayovin, that you can't use as a raya. So Gemara says, okay, I'll give you another one. Elameata hakol somchin. Echara anashim bechanashim. Hakinami dilav l'chadchila. You want to tell me that smicha is not a din l'chadchila? Vaksiv v'samach yado v'nirtza. Pasuk says v'samach yado v'nirtza. So it sounds like it is a din l'chadchila, that it makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy when we do the smicha. That's the hartzah of the karban. So how can you say that akol is a b'di'avad lashon? So what did we prove? Basically, we quoted two sources that akol show that akol is a din b'di'avad, and one of those sources was invalid. We quoted two sources that akol is din l'chadchila, one of those sources was invalid, but we're still left with one on either side. So the Gemara says, in Ika kol lechadchila, v'ika kol diavet. Sometimes I call is a din lechadchila, sometimes I call is a din b'diavet. El akol dahacha mimai din lechadchila hu, de tikshilach, dilma diavet hu velo tikshilach. So why did we ask the question? What did we say? We weren't sure how could it be in our Mishnah that on the one hand it says that akol shochtin sounds like lechadchila, on the other hand it says shchitas and ksheira sounds b'diavet. Who says HaKol Shochtin is a L'chadchila HaKol? Maybe the HaKol Shochtin is a B'di'evet HaKol. How could you ask a question based on a word that could really go either way? So it says Gemara, Amalei Ana Shechitas and Ksheira Kashali. Midiktani Shechitas and Ksheira D'Eved Mechal D'HaKol L'chadchila Hu. It's the fact that we had to say Shechitas and Ksheira implies that the HaKol is L'chadchila. The idiyeved, because if the akol itself was a bidiyeved akol, tarti diyeved lamali. Very interesting. What the Gemara is really saying over here is that akol is not parv. Hakol is either bidiyeved or lechadchila. It's not saying that it's a benign word. It's saying it's either telling you specifically that this is a din bidiyeved, or it's telling you specifically that this is a din lechadchila. Now, from the fact that it needed to tell me shchitas and kshera implies that the hakol is telling you specifically there's a din lechadchila of hakol shochtin. Because if there was a din bidiyeved of hakol shochtin, then it wouldn't need to tell me shchitas and kshera, because that's just repeating the same idea twice, that it's bidiyeved. So there must be two parts to this Mishnah, where Akol Shochtin there's some din l'chadchila, and Shechitas and Kshera there's some other din b'di'evet. So the question is how to understand this Mishnah. There are going to be several approaches in the Gemara. We're not going to get to all of them today, but let's see the first one. Amar Rabba Barula, Hachi Katani, Hakol Shochtin va'afilu tamei b'chulin. Hakol Shochtin means that even a tamei person can shecht chulin. So tamei b'chulin, my lemeimra. Gemara says tamei person shechti chulin. Why would a tamei person not be able to shecht chulin? Meaning that what's the chiddush that we nowadays tamei mesim, that we're all allowed to shecht chulin? People who are amaratzim that have tumas zav, we're allowed to shecht chulin. We're allowed to shecht regular animals. Of course, we're allowed to shecht regular animals. Why would you have a hava mina otherwise that we're not allowed to shecht regular animals? Before we get past that point, I skipped an important tosfos. Anash kitas and kshera kashali. So this is Rav Ashi speaking. Rav Ashi answering the Gemara's question by saying that what bothered me, the reason that I had this kasha, was the lashon of shkitas and kshera. So if you look at Tosos, very critical Tosos, he writes mashma shrav Ashi hiksha osakushya. It sounds that Rav Ashi was the one that raised the kasha in the first place. How did we have the kasha right at the beginning of the Gemara? The Gemara said, "Akol shochtin l'chadchila shkitas and kshera b'di'evet." wasn't Ravashi, it was just Tamid the Gemara. No one said anything about Ravashi. And yet Ravashi says, no, when I asked this Kasha, this is what I meant when I asked this Kasha. Tosfos says, from here you see, Chulin Daf Beis, from here you see, Ravashi wrote the Gemara. When it's Tamid the Gemara, you see that it's Ravashi. That's where we get the idea that Ravina and Ravashi were Masadra the Gemara, or at least that Ravashi was one of the Masadrim of the Gemara. Says Tosfos, I, but Rav and Abaye also come to answer this Kasha, and Rav and Abaye lived before Ravashi. Okay, could be the Kasha existed in their time as well. But Ravashi, when he's saying, Hachi Kokashali, this is the Kasha that I posed earlier, sounds like when the Stam of the Gemara posed the Kasha, that was Ravashi. So that's a very Chashva Tosfos, because it shows you that Ravashi was one, it brings a Raya, that Ravashi was one of the Masadim of the Gemara. Okay, back to our previous point. So we were saying, wait a second, what's the Chiddush? That Hakol Shochtin means a tame person is allowed to shecht chulin. What's the havamina that a tame person should not be allowed to shecht chulin? So Tosfos says, I'll tell you the havamina. Why don't we say that there is an iser? We know there's an iser of being gorim tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's the havamina, that a tame person can't shecht chulin because you're not allowed to be gorim tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos says, no, that could be taken out of context. You're not allowed to be gorim tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael means Peros, where it's Shaykh Truma, but Stam Basar, where it's not Shaykh Truma, there's no Isser of being Metame Basar in Eretz Yisrael. That there's no Isser. The Isser is only Dafka Peros, where it relates to Truma. So again, back to the Gemara's question. So what's the Havamina that a Tame person can't Shecht Chulin meat? We're talking about chulin that's treated with the tahara of kodesh. And we're assuming that chulin shenas al taras hakodesh has to be treated like kodesh, and therefore it has to be done b'tahara. So ketzaruosa. So then the question flips. Okay, if it has to be done b'tahara, so why taka is a kol shochtin? Why is a guy who's tamei allowed to do it if that's the case? So what's he supposed to do? How is he supposed to make sure that it doesn't become tamei? Says the Gemara, very simple. Maybe sakin arucha v'shochet b'kedesh lo yiga b'basar. Bring a very long knife and shecht with it so that lo yiga b'basar, so that the person won't have to touch. Won't have to touch the meat, and therefore he won't be metame the meat. But if it's real kodesh, if it's not chulin shnas al taras, because it's real kodesh, lo yishchot shema yiga b'basar. We're not even going to allow with a long knife because we're afraid that you might come to touch the meat. Says Tosos, when can a person be metame meat? If an animal is a live animal, a tame person touches the animal does not become tame. The only time we refer to a behema as tameo while it's alive is when we're talking about how it's not kosher, how it doesn't have simani kashrus. That's all behema tameo means while an animal is alive. An animal cannot become tame while it's alive. The only way an animal can become tame is once it's dead, it has a din of ochel, of food, and then it has tumas ochlin, it becomes tame as food. So when you're shechting it, so when does the shochet let go? Well, the behemoth is a daim farchesis while it's still jumping around the shochet. Let's go, the shochet gets out of the way. So how's it going to be metame it anyway? Even if he touches the animal, he's not being metame it. The halacha is, the Gemara is going to say later on, Kuf Chaf Alf on Beis, mefarchesis harei kichaya. A mefarchesis still has the din of a live animal. It doesn't have a din of meat. It has a din of a live animal. So Tosfos says, no, we're afraid that maybe Shema Yiga Achar Pirchus, that maybe he's going to touch the animal after it finishes jumping around. Or else, he says, maybe that statement of the Gemara that mefarcheses is kichaya is only legabe the dinim of hamad of aracha. But legabe whether it's considered an ochel or not, maybe when it's mefarcheses, it's already considered an ochel in regards to tumas ochlin. You got to say something like that. But anyway, so says the Gemara Viter. So good. So if it's kachim, you're not allowed to shecht it. We're afraid lest you come to touch the basar. Vim shachet v'omer barili shelo nagati. But if you shecht it and you say, I am certain that I didn't touch the basar, shechitas. Then the shechita is going to be kosher. Chutz micher shatav katan dafilu bechulin grade di yavet nami lo shemi yishu shemi yidrusu v'shemi yachlidu. Except for if you have a cher shatav katan, now we're just reading the next line of the Mishnah. Hakol shochtin means a tamei person is allowed to shecht chulin that it's not saltaras hakodesh. Except for cher shatav katan, where not only is he not allowed to shecht chulin shnas saltaras hakodesh, not even allowed to shecht regular chulin cher shatav katan. Why? Because we're afraid of certain psulim, the act of shechita itself. We're afraid yishu that there's going to be a shehiyah, there's going to be a delay in the shechita. The shechita has to be one constant motion. If there's a delay, it could cause the animal to become a nevela. Shemi yidrasu, another din in hilcha shechita. The shechita has to be done in a back and forth motion where it's purely the sharpness of the blade and not any force that you're putting down on the blade that cuts the animal. Yidrasu is where you push down on the blade and that push down with the blade on the animal's neck. That is a psul in the shechita. Yachlidu is instead of shechting the simanim from above, you stick the knife underneath the simanim and pull up. That is also a psul in the shechita. We're afraid the Chayr Shad V'Kan doesn't know how to do shechita. That's why even for chulin we don't trust them. V'kulin sheshechtu ahei. So actually, before we get to that, Shemi Yigavavasa, this concern that we don't want a tamei person shechting kodshim because he might touch the meat. Frektosos, wait a second, where is the hechsher lekabel tuma? In order for ochlin to become tameh, you first need it to be hechsher lekabel tuma. And dam kachim is not machshir. So says Tosos, concept we had several times already in Zvachim and Menachos, chibas hakodesh machsheres. The fact that it is such a chashva thing, that it's such a chashva animal, the chibas, because it's kachim, the chibas hakodesh, the belovedness of it being kodesh, is what gives it the hechsher lekabel tuma. Or you could say that maybe they brought the animal to a river first and they soaked it in the river so that the skin would come off more easily and the animal is still dripping wet. So that water itself might be makshir lekabel tuma. Why aren't we worried that you can't shecht, the tummy person can't shecht, let's shecht kachim. Forget about being mitame the kachim. Shemi yimshech bifnim. Maybe he'll end up in the azara and you're not allowed to go into the azara. The Gemara says this elsewhere, has this concern elsewhere, Tosus asks. So he says, by a Tohar person, there's more of a concern that he'll end up in the Azara. Tame person knows his limits. He knows he's not allowed to go into the Azara. Then Tosus asks a very fundamental question, very challenging question. His Rabbeinu Ephraim asks, how long is this knife that you're using? If the guy is Tame, he's not allowed to go on Harabayas. So he's from Harabayas until Ezis Yisrael. Or even if you say that he's allowed to go on Harabayas, he's just not allowed to go past the Ezis Nashim. So still, it's 135 Amos. So you can have a 135 Amos long knife. What in the world is going on here? How is this even possible? So Tosus gives several answers. The last of the answers is very interesting. He says, who says we're talking about Shechting Kachim in the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe we're talking about a Bama, and in which case there's no psul of going in, and that would answer all the world's problems. It answers another kasha that we're going to have in a second also. Let's see the Gemara a little further. V'kulin sheshachtu aheya. When it says v'kulin sheshachtu that the shechit is kshera, which case of the Mishnah is that talking about? Ilei ma'cher shod v'katan Allah ka'i v'im shachtu mi'ba'ilei. We were just talking about cher shod v'katan. It should have said v'im, not v'kulan, ela atame v'kulin. So maybe second possibility, it's talking about a tamei person shechting chulin. We're saying that the shechita is going to be kosher. Ha'amrit l'chadchila nami shechit. No, tamei person is allowed to shechul l'chadchila. It wouldn't only be a din b'diavad. Ve'ela atame b'mukdashim. No, it's talking about a tamei person shechting hegdish. So, and that's when we say that his shechita is kosher. Well, b'bari li sagi, all you need is for him to tell you that he knows he didn't touch it, and then it's good enough. What do you mean that it's going to be kosher? Just ask him, and if he tells you that he didn't touch it, then it's good even l'chadchila. So says Gemara, delese come under the shayve. Maybe he's not around, so we can't ask him. So since we can't ask him, it's a suffix. Frektosvos, what do you mean suffix? The azara is a rishus harabim. The Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Yutes. So what do you do when you have a suffix? When you have a suffix tumah b'rishus harabim, if that's the whole issue, the guy is tamei shechting kachim. We couldn't ask him; he's not around, so we don't know if he touched it, if he didn't touch it. Suffix tumah b'rishus harabim is tahar. So it's also pashut that it would be tahar. Why the kulan sheshachtu shchadasik sheira? So says Tosos, very important Tosos. Hai suffix lo dami lishar suffix tumah b'rishus harabim shem derov. Even though we don't know if he touched or he didn't touch, chances are he touched. Most of the time, when you shecht an animal, you're going to touch the animal. I just got an email yesterday. Someone said to me, if you have a cotton beged and should you put tchelos on it, it's a safik drabanan. Safik drabanan lukulo, because cotton is only chayv in tzitzis mi drabanan. I said, if you hold it, it's a safik. But if you learn the sugyas and you're convinced, like I am, that it's a lot more than a safik, that it's karav levadai, so then you can't just rely on safik lukula. And then Tosa says, but remember what I said previously, we might be talking about a bama, and if we're talking about a bama, then it's vaday not a problem over here, because it's not, we're not talking about the azara. It might actually be a safek in Rosh Hashayachid. Okay, so we'll stop there, and Mr. Shem will pick up from that point tomorrow.